One of the things that we're very happy to do in our many ministries is to look out for new ministries.
Turn all the lights off.
Yes, please, in that box.
And see if it's picking up. And this is not because we just itch for change. It's because we believe that if the Lord's hand is upon a work, it should have that vitality of life and diversity and growth. And so just as the cables are connecting, let me tell you a little bit of how we recently started our work helping the deaf church in Romania. I was just going along to the Romanian Fellowship here in Bristol for a few Sundays, and this was back in March, and a dear man by the name of Danny Caroli was there. Interesting thing was is that he only came for two Sundays. But Danny is interesting. If we go to the next photograph straight away, please. Both of Danny's parents were deaf and were evangelical Christians. And Danny said to me, he said, listen, Adrian, there's an evangelical church, a deaf fellowship, we could call it, there in Arad. So there's the map. Here we go, Heather. I was taking your advice. You wanted a map this evening. You got one. There we go. So it's in Arad. So let's have a look at that. That's there. I'm going to have a look at the deaf fellowship. Please, could you go to the next photograph, please, all, if we could. Now, there's a photograph of the deaf fellowship in Arad. Some of them are the helpers, but most of them there are deaf people. I didn't know this until I started researching, but apparently 1 in 1,000 people is born profoundly deaf. 1 in 1,000, that's not too many. It actually has a real relevance for me because my dad is deaf. He developed a profound hearing loss at the age of 10, and so he can speak, but he really can't hear that well at all. And I can tell you that in Romania, when it comes to handicapped people, there's kind of like a zero tolerance. And everyone says, oh, you're a burden to society. But if we go to the next photograph, please, all. Back in 1993, the dear grey-haired fellow there is a man, American by the name of Jim Sloan. And Jim, he was an expert in sign language, and he came over and he asked someone, he said, listen, the deaf of the church, how do they manage? How do they manage? And people said, well, they hear nothing. And he said, that's not good. And so what he started right there and then was this signing lessons and then starting to teach in through sign language. And the man with the little beard there is Sammy Gorgan, who's taken leadership of the deaf church in Arad for the last 11 years. Next photograph, please. Oh. This is where they meet. Rather typically Romanian building, painted on the front and not on the side. When the budget reaches that far, the side will be painted too. But the deaf church that meets here in the basement. And let's go to the next photograph hall and see what happens. That was actually when they were upstairs in the main meeting room. And you can see, can't you, how this kind of... It's got two aspects to it. It's almost like a dance. I think if we go to the next photograph as well, we can see a little bit more of that, I think. No, let's go back to where we were, sorry. So it's almost like a dance. So your downstairs underneath the main church, and there are about 15 of us there, and they put the words of the hymn or the song on the board, and you get these gracious, slow, sign language movements. And the first thing you think is it looks a little bit like a synchronized ballet. But the other interesting aspect of it is that it's completely silent. A very strange sensation, very strange experience after the meeting. About, well, fewer people than there are here in the room, but everyone's kind of animatedly moving, but it's absolutely silent. And in one sense, that's deeply appropriate because that's the world in which they live. But what has been wonderful to see is how, in this deaf fellowship, from Jim Sloan's work, these deaf people have come to the Lord. Let's go and meet one of them all. This is Jonuts. Now, Jonuts is a, you know, nice-looking man, a good fella, and he just wandered along to the church back in 2011 because he wanted to learn sign language. By the way, amen. Thank you. See, I was there for 1 hour, so I picked up a few things. Now, he wanted to learn sign language. But he went and found people there communicating the gospel to him. And so in 2012, next photograph, please all, this wonderful thing happened. He was baptized. And that was something that was being repeated again and again. Deafness, need, going to witness our baptism. Let's have a look at the next photograph, Paul, because we're going to look through a few of these. This is George and Maria. Now George, he was brought to the church through his nephews. And he said his nephews brought him to this church in Guy, just outside Arad. And he said, you know, he had the death person's experience. He said, I understood nothing. Couldn't hear the preaching, couldn't hear the singing, couldn't hear anything. And then went down, was involved in the death church. And again, he too came to the Lord. In 2016, he was baptized as well. Let's have a look at the next photograph, please. Although this is Christy. Christy is 43 years old. Very interesting experience. He as well, he's been going to the deaf church since the year, I think it's about 1998 or something. He was going to the Orthodox church. Raised Orthodox, 83% of the Romanian population is Orthodox. Down from 87% about 10 years ago. So the number is falling, but it's still 83%. And he had been going because he was spiritually hungry to the Romanian Orthodox church. But one thing about deaf people who are completely deaf, they cannot tell whether they're going, or hmm. And so he was chucked out of the Romanian Orthodox Church for being disruptive, when that was the last thing he wanted to be. And again, in the year 2000, came to the Lord, and is walking with the Lord ever since then. Next photograph. You might be asking, what is it that we do in Romanian ministries? Well, this is Mihai and Elena. I've said already, the poor in Romania, they are harshly treated. They are seen, I mean, go back to the old communist times, the great word that people used, you're a parasite. You are a parasite on society. And they were despised and they lived in poverty, and this is what Mihai and Elena are doing. And one of the things we're doing with Sami Gorgan, the pastor there, is that he's aware of the financial needs amongst the deaf fellowship. And he was talking about Mihai and Elena. He said, listen, Adrian, they haven't got a bathroom. All they've got is a toilet in the middle of their courtyard. So I'd like to have a go, because he's a practical man, Sami, of making them a bathroom so they can use the facilities inside and have somewhere to wash. And we're pleased to say, Sammy, we'll help you with that. And I'm looking forward to going over there in October and seeing how things are going. And that ministry of compassion. But the next photograph as well, because in Romanian ministries we are always committed to the conversion of souls. And this, although it looks like just a jolly get-together, is the annual deaf person's camp. And dear old Sami Gorgan, he says he goes out looking for deaf people in Arad, the surrounding town. He said he was hoping to bring at least 10 non-Christian deaf people to the summer camp, which took place at the beginning of last week. 125 lei per person, was that about £30, maybe a few more? And we said, dear Sami, listen, he struggles always to get funding for this. We say, we'll help you with that. And we said to those dear deaf people that morning we were there, Sammy signing away, I was saying a few words. I said, listen, my dear ones, with your ears, you can't hear what I'm saying. That's just how it is in this life for now. But you've got a heart that can hear too. And when the Lord Jesus speaks to you through Sammy's signing, respond to his voice. Obey what he says. May the Lord bless all of you with his guidance and salvation. That's a wonderful thing. Pray for the deaf church, its camps, and also for wisdom for Sammy as he goes about trying to work out who needs help. Now, Ollie, let's go on to the next stage. Oh, yes. Pastor Doru's tractor. That was needed for the land project. Remember that his brother had sold the previous tractor because there was a financial crisis, leaving Doru in need of some ploughing and tilling kit, whatever you want to call it. And there it is. It's a mini tractor, so it can go through Doru's greenhouses. But the wonderful thing is that we were giving Doru £1,800 a year up until the land project started 3 years ago. And the whole idea being the purchase of the land, the construction of greenhouses, he'd be able to make money from that, and we wouldn't need to give him British donations anymore. And last year it was wonderful, because from the land project he managed to make £4,000 of profit, and actually gave back a 2,000 lei, which is £400, to Romanian ministries. So we praise the Lord for that. And let's put on. Now, where were we? We were in Arad,
which is there. And now we're in the Skorny Chesh, which is there.
Let's have a look at Arad.
So,
Stratford upon Avon. Who lived there? Henry VIII. No, not Henry VIII. It's Shakespeare, isn't it? Most people know that, don't they? It's very common knowledge. In the small town of Skorny Chesh,
this man was born
at the start of the 20th century. In that house there, in that small town. Now, let's look at his next house as we go to the next photograph, a bit more upmarket. And it is said to be the second largest administrative building in the world. Curiously, it is also the heaviest building in the world, and it is slowly sinking into the ground. So we better take the photograph this year because, well, it won't be half disappeared next year, but you know what I mean. But a man who actually built that never actually lived in it. I wonder who he was. Let's have a look at the next photograph. Oh, a lovely, handsome young man there. His name was Nicolae Ceaușescu. Everyone kind of switches on auto-hate when you talk about the Romanian communist dictator Nicolae Ceaușescu. But let me tell you, he didn't have an easy start in life, that man. I think some of you know this already, that Nicolae's father already had lots of children by the time Nicolae was born. And he was so drunk when he went to register Nicolae's birth, he forgot he already had a son called Nicolae. So there were two. And at the age of 11, Nicolae was sent off from Skorny Chesh to become the apprentice of a watchmaker in Bucharest. And the watchmaker was a communist, and the rest, as they say, is history. Let's move on to the next photograph. That's what he became. It's interesting, if you talk to a Romanian, they'll often say 1965 to 1971, the first Ceaușescu years, were good years. But unfortunately, what happened is that he went, it's said, to North Korea, he went to China, he saw the vast pageants, he saw the sort of emperor cults, if you want to put it that way, call it like that, and everything went so sadly wrong. But people know where Nicolae Ceaușescu is from, this town of Skorny Chesh. That's the one of the main streets of it there. And it's been our privilege, next photograph on, to be sponsoring a missionary there. Now for the last 4 years. Let's have a little look at the church there. That was put up in 2006. And then the picture that tells the whole story, I always think the next one is it on. That's, the missionary is called Joseph Baran, and that's his flat. He's not living in the Casa Popolului that we saw a few minutes ago. Let me just tell you a little bit about Joseph. Joseph moved to Skorny Chesh, this poor part of Romania, back in the year 2001. For a few years, all that happened with regards to a church in that town, there was no other evangelical church, just a handful of Christians that were meeting in Joseph's flat. 2004, 2005, 2006, a pastor comes and serves. Joseph is acting as a missionary, trying to reach out to people in the area. The pastor is there as well, and pastor decides in the year 2006 there are not enough people in the church, so he goes north to a town I won't tell you and just disappears. Joseph carries on. There's just a handful of people there. Joseph carries on. They get another good pastor, a man by the name of Nelu Maior, who started the church, I think, in 2007 and 2013, November, as some of us know. Nello is washing his car in the car park and drops down dead of a brain hemorrhage, 53. And Joseph carries on. And one of the things that has so impressed me about Joseph is that you can see from this photograph, he's not carrying on, continuing, persevering in a palace. It's hard work. And one of the things I've learnt in Romanian ministries When you see your good workers, good men, putting their hands to the plough over there in Romania. Good men, prayerful men, disciplined men, uncompromising men, very good. But sometimes they are very tired men. And you say to them, when did you last have a holiday? And they say something like 2002. And so, identifying various signs of fatigue in Yosef, we said, dear brother, it's time you came over to the UK for a rest. And so that's what happened in March this year. Oh, let's have a look, shall we? Now, there they are. I'll just do a little bit of introducing. That's Yosef. That's his wife, Inverna. That's the pastor from Scottish Head Peters. That's his wife. This is Gabby Mywall, the previous pastor's widow, and a son. And they came over for 6 days, and it was quite a time. Let's have a look, shall we all? What happened in the next photograph? Now, this kind of bagatelle, this is our house back home, and I can honestly say, I really brought it in when we got married. We have never used it until our friends came over, and suddenly we were all competing, you know, who can get the highest scores with the various marbles. Let's have a look at the next photograph on. Yeah, that was down at Noah's Ark Zoo Farm. Bit of a nose-to-nose for Yosef there. Never had a nose-to-nose like that before, but it was a wonderful day. A bit grey, but we actually got to meet Anthony Bushman. I had a photograph taken with him as well, the owner of... Next one again, all. Now, pastors have main priorities and then second priorities, and one of Pastor Titus's secondary priorities was to go to the Cadbury shop in the designer outlet in Bridgend, and I certainly wouldn't blame him for that. I think I was probably just behind him in the queue. Next one, please, again, all. It's interesting, we went to Cribbs Causeway, and then it was very interesting because I was expecting them to be quite impressed, but instead, especially Sister Gabby on the end there, she said, I'm bored here. I thought, that's a good sign. Next photograph then, and this is us at the suspension bridge, the last day of the visit, and it certainly was a lovely, lovely time. Let's go back if we could, please. Oh, thanks. It's one of those things to watch out for. This holiday dear Yosef and the team had. Can I just say to all of us, beware of exhaustion. Beware of fatigue. And especially, I think, if you're a man, tendency is to want to beat our chests a bit and press on. Or we're trying to walk with the Lord. We say, well, it doesn't matter what I'll do. The Lord will just always pour in his wonderful strength, and so often he does. But be careful of fatigue. Know when to take a rest and to be refreshed. And this is one of the privileges we've had in Romanian ministries, helping that dear missionary. We pay Yosef's salary. He was working in Germany for 4 months a year and then doing his mission work in Skornichest for 8 months a year. But we were able to intervene and relieve him of that, so he's there all the time now. We also pay for Titus's salary as well, because the church there, although it's growing, is still quite poor. So that's the work that we're doing there. And now I'm going to hand over to dear Ollie, who's going to come and tell us about gypsy work. Thank you. Oh, sorry, and that's Dennis, but we haven't got time for that. You go on and tell us about gypsy work. Thank you.
Okay, so, well, you're quite familiar with gypsies, but a brief introduction for those who are. So, this is a gypsy village out in Romania. So, the gypsies Roman gypsies, tend to live in general quite separately to the rest of the population in Romania, although there are some of the generally rich ones. Mixed in. So this is a gypsy village here. As you can see, a lot of the houses are very poor. Most of the gypsies there are living fairly self-sufficiently off the land, a lot of them. So move on to the next picture. They very much have a culture of their own. A lot of them don't own cars. They are going around with their horse and carts. Next picture. So this is a character that I don't think we've introduced to you about him before, because he's fairly new to Romanian ministries. This is Pastor Nalutin. So he does a lot of work in a gypsy village with children. You might say it's fairly similar to what we do at Buckingham here, but in a gypsy village. Next one. So this is the place where he operates, a little hall there. So when we arrived there, we were told, bring along some bananas, some oranges, some biscuits, whatever you can grab. And he would tell people that there was going to be some food and lots of people would come along. So that's what we did. We arrived, we went into the hall, and this is what we found. A very busy meeting of gypsy children, which was really good fun. You can see Dolly there again. He gave a gospel message, Pastor Luther did. This is something which he tries to hold on a weekly basis. However, he explained to us the main issue which he has, and his entire ministry here in this village has. He says, the gypsy ministry here is one that very, very much depends on aid work. He says, when he heard we were coming and he said, bring some food, he told a few people there would be people coming and bringing some food for the children. This word spread like wildfire. And as you can see, this building filled up with children, mothers came along, brought their babies, and soon the whole place was full. And all these people were here, hearing the gospel message, and he had a full round meeting. If that had not happened, this would not necessarily be the case. He says this is exactly the same for his Sunday meetings, except when he tries to accept for that, it's not so much for the food. He says the only other church, which is in the village, is a Pentecostal church, which he says does not preach the gospel. The pastor there recently split up from his wife in order to marry the most beautiful woman in the village. And he says they have been giving out aid from which they've been importing somehow from the Netherlands. And therefore people have been flooding there rather than coming to hear the true word at his place. So you can see the issue that he's faced there. Now, Romanian Ministries has been agreed to fund this children's work here and give regular food for their meetings every week in order to bring these children along. Okay, so that is Pastor Nalutin. So, moving on, we then have Dragomir, who most of us have met before, I think, here. So, with Dragomir, we now have Dragomir. We went along for a day with him on his ministry. We went to a village called Balda with him. And in this village called Balda, this is one of six villages which he regularly ministers to. If you want to move on. next one. Here we go. This dragon then. Yeah, next one. There we go. So this is Balda. Next one. Okay, and here we go. This is the church we arrived at in Balda. As we arrived here, the word went up. Dragomir is here. He's going to preach. And people, young and old, rushed up the lane and came to meet him and crowded into this church. We move to the next picture. This is what it is like inside. A tiny little room, a few chairs and a little table at the front. Off centre, with a couple of glasses and water there for the preacher. Next one. Soon this was round full, people piled in, crowded all round, and it was filled out of the door. And Dragomir began the meeting. There were like three songbooks here. He gave out a hymn, people piped up, and Most people couldn't read anyway, so there's three songbooks for them, all others needed. And then Dracomir began to preach. He preached a fiery sermon on the end of Acts 2, where the congregation asked Peter, what must, they're cut to the heart after his sermon, and they say, sir, what must we do? And Peter says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And he preached so fire, with such fire and emotion on this, and everyone was sat there in silence and was hanging on his every word. I couldn't understand the word, but I could really tell that, there was something great going on here. So, move on. And then here we were with the children afterwards. We took some pictures and stuff. And then Adrian and I went for a walk afterwards. Next one. As we went for a walk around the village, two men came to talk to Dragomir, who was sitting in the car waiting for us because he is not so able now. And two men came to talk to him and said, "Oh, we want to be baptized, us and our families." And this is the kind of environment now that is in these villages. These people, when Dragomir turns up, they want to hear the gospel. They hear it once a week when he turns up on some random day of the week in one of these six villages where he goes. They flood into this little church, and when he preaches, they come, and it has a great effect. Now, I don't know how those people are spiritually. They cannot read the Bible, most of these people, and they probably have a pretty limited understanding because they just hear this one sermon a week. However, you can see how there is such a thirst for the gospel there, and that is what is so amazing. What they really need is consistent preaching, consistent teaching. If we move on. This lady is a perfect example of this. When we were walking around, we met this old lady here. She said to us, "Ah, I heard that there has just been preaching up at the church." She said, "I would love to have been there, but I couldn't make it because I'm not well enough. However, I have this book here." This book was actually an Adventist book by Ellen G. White, funnily enough. She thought it was like some sort of Bible or something, and she asked us to read for it. We prayed with her and everything. But again, another lady there who she cannot read. She has this book, but she thinks it's some sort of scripture. She is thirsting for the gospel, but there is no one there to preach it to her. Only Dragomir there, who is desperate to preach to these people, but he is just so overworked, he cannot get around. And this is the environment which we have amongst these gypsy villages. So we'll move on. This is the next village, Camarasa, which is the one I mentioned in the prayer meetings recently. So this is where, starting on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, there is an evangelizari in this village. We move on. So this will be 3 days of consistent preaching and evangelistic meetings for the population there, which Dragomir will be preaching, and various missionaries and Doru will be preaching, and many people will come, most of the village probably, to come and hear the gospel, and we hope that many people will be converted. So this is a massive thing which we really want everyone to pray for. This church here is a church which has just recently been built, although has not been finished as well. So this is another thing we can commit in prayer. This was funded by some Americans, however the funding has run out and it seems to have not been finished. If you move on to the next one, at the back up here, this is an annex from the pastor. He said to Dragomir, "Who will be the pastor then?" He said, "The Lord will prepare a man." This is the faith that he has, but sadly there is no one. So there we go. This is Dragomir. He is preaching to six villages as much as he can get around in a week. But he says, that's all I can get to. He says there are many more villages with no gospel witness at the moment, including one nearby where he says there are 6,000 souls there with no one to preach to them. He says it is his sadness that he cannot reach them. So there we go. If you want an example of where truly the harvest is plentiful but the laborers are few, I think we have it here. So, something to pray for, everyone, I think. Let's just see what.
And one thing to add to what Ollie said there is that the Evangelizari, which is taking place, actually starts tomorrow, they're quite clear about this. They said, we'll have the sponsorship first, please. No sponsorship, no Evangelizari. So that was a real privilege. And I think Ollie definitely shows there in the way he talks about it, that once a concern for the Roma gets into your heart, it certainly stays there. Let's jump on then, shall we all? I think we'll probably have a look at two more areas. We're going back to Oradea now. She's right back up there. Right back up there in our dear Emmanuel Hospice. Right. Sometimes good Christian work is really hard. And sometimes the stories that come out of it are quite disturbing. And this is what's happened recently with regards to Emmanuel Hospice. For those of you who don't know, Emmanuel Hospice is there in Oradea. Let's have a look at the next photograph, please. It's entirely evangelical Christian, doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, psychotherapists, that sort of thing. And we want to talk now a little bit about, in a moment, about this here man, my dear friend, Benny Paul, the doctor. We'll just have a look at one aspect of hospice work, which has been encouraging recently. If we look up, go on, please. Here's dear Florina. The hospice doesn't just help the terminally ill, but young people with serious life-limiting diseases. And dear Florina, who is now 18, has epidermolysis bullosa, which means that she has very brittle skin that breaks open very easily. And I was talking to a neighbour of mine who was a doctor, and he said he knew this disease well, and he said someone with this disease can die at any time, because he said once the defence of the skin is breached, he said even though the immune system is good, the time will come when the infection will be too strong. And we were very touched about that. And in relation to Florina, she's got this amazing ability to paint. She hasn't got any hands, but she can paint. And let's have a look at some of her work. Sorry, that's a bit small. Maybe you can see the next one as well. And if you could see them in real life, they're really amazing, these paintings, and we've been selling these for next one again, all is £100 each, and I think we've sold 5 now, which is £500 in 6 or 7 months. It's really a blessing for a dear disabled girl like that. We're trying to make sure that now she gets to 18, we're sponsoring a visitation package so that people from the hospice continue to go out to her week after week, otherwise they would stop now that she's 18. Please, and again, another one of the paintings, and again, beautiful. Every year, they hold a camp for teenagers and children who've lost parents or brothers or sisters. That's a serious business, isn't it? Again, it's wonderful that a Christian group would do that, and in Romanian Ministries, we paid for 5 places at that this year. Quite expensive, it was £100 each. They must be hiring a nice place, but again, it's by no means just, if we look at the next couple of photos, it's by no means just happy gatherings, and the next photograph's a bit of craft work. The gospel is being preached there. That's a wonderful thing. But now it's just like every member of staff in Emmanuel Hospice, we in Romanian Ministries are privileged to support 4 of them now. And we really do welcome all support from whoever when it comes to helping us to do that. But recently, the good news that even the last few days is that this is the big new hospice building, and that's pretty much standing where it is at the moment. But the next phase, if you look over here, they've been allocated a new plot of land there on which they're going to build, at a cost of about €500,000, a smaller wing of the new hospice building. It will have about 30 members of staff. It's going to be a phased thing then, this expansion, this his great work. And just getting the details from Marinella yesterday about how the benefits will result from that. I haven't actually read them carefully, so I can't put them to you quite yet. But it is a work of God. And it is the one that sobers us. You know, it's lovely, and Ollie and I, we love those fun little gypsy kids playing around, and, you know, we can joke with the adults as well, and that's lovely, but when you're talking about terminal illness, it's not a fun game. And we're so privileged to be able to support Emmanuel Hospice in what they're doing, and covet your prayers for this new wing that will make such a difference. Let's go to the next one. I'm going to, if you go, yeah, we're going to the Bible College now. We're just going to go through a few photographs, please. So the next one, that's the Bible College itself, where we support some students. Next one, that's the chapel, where they hold their meetings. That's the stained glass window of the chapel, which is of the Lord Jesus fishing for men. And next one, that was our first student that we supported, Dennis, who's now a pastor in the north of Romania. Next one, that's Laurent. He was the second student that we started to support, again now serving the Lord in Arad itself. A bit challenging, but persevering. Next photograph, please. And we get to Stefan. Just tell you very quickly about Stefan. Stefan was a third year student. Well, I think it was Matt and I who met him, I think, wasn't it, Matt? With Bogdan in November last year. And we were just having a general conversation, and he was obviously in financial need, and we were there to help. Wonderful, praise the Lord, we helped. What I didn't realize was the story behind it. That Stefan had been brought up in a Christian family, one of six children. His father was a godly man who had been working in a steelworks and had had his leg amputated after an accident from below the knee when he was in his 20s. Now in January 2017, the father is getting a lot more pain in his leg. Goes to the doctor, doctor diagnoses painkillers. Middle of February, goes back, and it's cancer. 1st of March, he dies. Stefan hasn't got any money for his fees. And you can't see it so much on the photo, but he's a lovely guy. Really good lad. And, you know, he was kind of saying to him, Stefan, we paid all. The Lord's, we joined the Lord, we paid all for you, all your fees. Don't worry about it. We paid all, and he's kind of half apologizing and saying, oh, well, I don't want to put this burden upon you. He said to him, listen, people like you are the reason we do this work, the Lord. So that by the Lord's grace we can find people like you and help. And really lovely how there was a dear old lady from South Wales. I went there for a deputation meeting in May, and she's already paid more than half of Stefan's fees for next year. It's a lovely thing. But these are the sort of people that we're helping. That's the one in our last area. Oh, this Dino and the book's translation. I don't really haven't got time to talk about that. I'm going to go to
Spencer.
And the next photograph on the abandoned girls' home. I think I've said before, when we hark back to the 1990s and think of Romanian orphans, many of us saw the photographs, the footage on the news, but what we didn't realize is that they weren't orphans. So often they were abandoned. Nicolae Ceaușescu craved demographic growth. He wanted to double the population of Romania by the year 2000. And so what he was doing was giving awards to the parents of five children, a better award to the parent of seven children, a better award again to the mother of 10 children. But we can't cope. And so they gave their children to the state, absolutely convinced that the child would have a better life. Yet we saw the results, and the squalor, and the psychological damage. And the Lord sent his people in, not just to visit and drop off an aid lorry, although there's benefit in that. You want to do the Lord's work, you commit yourself, body and soul, to it. And these people in Casa Ana, Christians, they went in there and said, we're going to help these abandoned children. Next photograph, please, on. Now, here we are. It's a very small group. There is one missing there, but you might say, well, it's such a small orphanage. Is it really worth it? Well, it's meant to simulate a family. That's the whole point. But it's not an institution, kind of cold, impersonal. It's meant to simulate a family, and there are the girls. And what we've been doing in Romanian ministries, if we go to the next photograph, there are these two dear ones, Mihaela, the top one with the glasses, and Vasilica, her younger sister there below. And I have to say, there are some people in this room whose kindness is paying for these two girls to have a roof over their head and food on their table. And there are, we put out an appeal back in the start of the year. Could people give £30 a week, a year at a time? And we try and get these two supported to begin with and then move on from there. And in the Lord's goodness, 16 people are now doing that and giving something. And it's a wonderful thing to do. It's the best money you'll ever spend. It's wonderful stuff. And yet if we look at these two dear ones here who we are supporting, and we're trying to get a little bit more so that we can see a few people brought in, two more girls brought into the home. Let's meet Mihaela and Vasilica a bit better. We are covering all the costs for the bottom one, Vasilica. Next photograph, please, all. And we see them. They're going to follow them now on an excursion as they were taken out on a little trip around Constanza. Now, I said before, I think, that Mihaela and Vasilica are 2 of 10 children. Apparently they only have one full brother, all the others different fathers. But all of those 10 children are in institutions. Only one Christian one with these two dear girls, but the rest are there. Next photograph then, please, all, as we go through them. Here's another one that's in front of actually a monument in Mangalia. I recognize it. When the younger girl, Vasilica, who is on your right there, was a little baby, her mother just disappeared one day with the older sister and left the little girl by herself in the flat in Constanza. And that little girl, presumably Vasilica there, she presumably would have starved to death had she not been discovered by an auntie. That's a harrowing experience. Next photograph, please, all. Now, it's interesting, that graffiti there, which is writing in Romanian, "No more will we accept, no more will we support, no more do you want, no more can you do." And it's ironic in its own way, because it tells the story of how those girls have lived. If we go to the next photograph, their father, he is known to the Casa Ana. He is an alcoholic, and he has started to visit them. If we could go back one, please. He started to visit twice a year, but the staff say that when he visits, he is drunk. And quite why he started to visit now, the girls are getting older, I'm not sure. We hope it's for good reasons. Next photograph. Oh, and this is interesting because you can see them tucked in there. This is a nativity scene, and the two girls are there again. And it's so interesting because this is a Christian home and it's a spiritual battle. Carmen, one of the helpers there, was saying that when they went to school, the girls opted to go to the Romanian Orthodox class, which they didn't have to do, which was surprising. And I thought, oh, that's sad. They'll lose the evangelical witness. But then Carmen said as well, no, they love going to church. They're taken to a Pentecostal or a Baptist church every Sunday. They love the songs, and apparently before they go to bed each night, they pray, the girls. But Carmen said they just don't understand what actually becoming a Christian is all about. Don't understand that. Next photograph, all. And you look at these two dear little ones, and you think, well, thought next to the train, where are they going in life? What's the future going to hold for them? Next photograph, please, all. And you look at them there, and you really do wonder. But to close, my dear ones, you don't just wonder, you hope. Now, looking for a few more people, if that's possible, to do the £30 a month for 1 year, in hope that these girls will come to know the Lord Jesus. I am deeply encouraged when I read the Bible And I see the Lord Jesus had compassion upon the multitude. When they were lost, when they were at their weakest, he had compassion. This is not a 2,000-year-old thing. This is how it is today. His compassions, we read in Lamentations, new every morning, and full for these dear youngsters. It's interesting, when James and I were there last October, the girls were so keen, these two little girls, to talk to you, to spend time with you. And in one sense, you know, you could almost describe them as almost being a bit clingy and clinging to you. And that's a very dangerous thing for anyone to do that to another human being, because disappointment will always be the result, because we're human and fallible. But if these dear ones in that home are brought to the Lord Jesus in true spiritual encounter and rebirth, then we in Romanian Ministries can honestly say, our labour is not in vain. It's a joy to do this work, and we're grateful to you for your support of it. Thanks again for the opportunity this evening. Thank you.